This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Welcome to Amazing Business Radio with best-selling author and customer service and business expert, Shep Hyken. Shep will talk with some of the smartest thinkers in business to help make you more successful in your professional and personal life. This is Amazing Business Radio with Shep Hyken.
Hello, everybody. It's Shep Hyken here. We're back with another episode of Amazing Business Radio, and I am so excited about our guest today. Chad Jensen has been president of TCC and Wireless Zone, which is a subsidiary, both of those companies, subsidiaries of Roundroom. He's been the president since 2019. He was brought in as a CFO. He was really, really a smart guy, and they made him president. And when you find out what we're going to talk about today, you're going to understand why, because what he did during COVID for his employees, how he retains his employees, how his Google ratings are even higher than Chick-fil-A and Disney, the happiest place on earth, you're going to say, wow, we can do that too. But even more important is his company. And this is a huge important thing. He believes in something he refers to as the culture of good, giving back to the communities that they serve. Huge opportunity for companies and individuals to learn what's important and what can help drive the customer experience. That's what our interview is going to be about today. Now, before we get into it, a quick announcement. If you've got an amazing story or a question, I want you to share it with me on all of the social channels. If it is a question, use the hashtag Ask Shep, and I will respond to that question in the social channel, on this show, in my newsletter, The Shepherd Letter, or on my TV show, Be Amazing or Go Home. And episodes can be found on Amazon Prime, Roku, Apple TV, or just go to beamazing.tv. That is beamazing.tv. All right, let's talk with Chad Jensen. Chad, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here today.
Well, I'm excited to talk with you for a couple of reasons. Number one, your company is a client from a few years back, and that's really cool. And I'm meeting you for the very first time, Chad. How long have you been with the Verizon agent, this group?
Yeah, so I started back in 2009. Mm-hmm. And I started started the company as our CFO, which was at the time the first CFO the company had. So I got to take it from inception to where we've now grown to 1,200 doors throughout the country. And now I've progressed through every function. And in 2019, I became our president. So,
well, congratulations.
Quite a journey. Yeah. Thank you.
1 year before the whole world decided. But I would think that year of COVID was probably a good year for you.
Yeah, it was interesting. I mean, I'll tell you that it's obviously something we never hope we experience again. But the core that we had is the number one thing we made immediately is we're going to take care of our employees first, and we're going to take care of our customers. And, you know, that was the most important thing that we live by. And we made every decision through that lens. At the end of the day, you know, that was the most important thing. And coming out of that with that caring for our employees and showed how we had their back in the most difficult times. Clearly, there was no blueprint ever to how to deal with a global pandemic during our lifetime. And just the way we truly cared about our employees and our customers and took care of them no matter what, even if it meant a significant hit on our financials, we were 100% okay with that. You know, in a weird sort of way, at the end of the day, actually financially, it did end up being a good year for us. But that was not the most important thing for us that year. It was really about our employees.
I love that. And you have about 1,200 retail locations throughout the U.S.
Correct.
Yeah. And that makes you, by the way, the largest reseller of Verizon phones and any other services in the U.S.
Yeah. So we've got a couple big competitors, but we're right there. I think one of them just acquired the second. So we are right there in the second place for number. Mm-hmm. But we still like to claim we're the best. And we're as far as just how we show up in our communities, which I know we're going to talk about here in a little bit. And we really love our relationship with Verizon and where we've been able to evolve to from a reseller perspective.
Right. So I want to go back to the thing that you said a moment ago, which was we really focused on our employees in a tough time. And I don't know if I'm going to ask a question that's out of bounds or not, but I may ask, during this time, during COVID, and I'm going to compare you to another industry that may not have done it so well. You took care of your employees. Define for me what taking care of employees during that time meant.
Yeah, so that's a great question. And quite honestly, it meant several things. And you know, kind of starting with being there for them and show them that we cared about them and we had their back. You know, obviously, in those times, the number one concern we truly had was our employees' safety and their family safety and how we were there for them when unfortunately some people became sick or needed to take some time off. We wanted to make sure we cleared that space for them. And no matter what, we were there to talk to them. Listen, I had many calls one on one with employees about their mental health and how they were dealing with certain things. So that was the most important thing. Secondly, obviously, finances were a concern for everybody at that point. So what we did is we actually guaranteed our employees certain dollars that they would make so we could take that financial burden away from them no matter what happened in the coming months. And then we actually evolved it to be a point where we gave them the choice. Obviously, we were deemed a very critical resource with everyone working from home and needing to get access to cell phones. We gave our employees the choice if they wanted to come to work, we would actually absolutely welcome them back and financially take care of them, maybe put some additional incentives there. But if they weren't comfortable for whatever reason, we asked no questions. We would give them a certain dollar amount to make sure they financially would be able to take care of their families for whatever period of that time was they needed to stay home. And I think the thing we did different than most companies is we didn't need a lot of documentation. It was about individual employee choice and what was most important to them and their individual families. And as you can imagine, there was a million different reasons why someone would need to be at home to take care of a loved one or their children or whatever that those answers were. And then as people were ready to come back, we allowed that at their rate and it allowed that nice balance for them to get back to work, but always financially trying to take that burden away from them, especially in those first quarter where we really didn't know what was going to happen. And we were closing stores and had a lot of uncertainty. We wanted to take that financial burden away from our employees.
That's amazing. So I have a gentleman I interviewed for another opportunity, and he was in the hotel industry. And he said, you know, as soon as COVID hit, we had to shut down our hotels because nobody was traveling, blah, blah, blah. What do? We let all of our employees go. And the moment we can open back up again, what do? We went back to all of those employees. Guess what? They said, we don't want to work for you. You treated us terribly. You stopped paying us. We lost our jobs and now you want us back. We've already found something that we want to do, even at less money, but we enjoy it more. You went the opposite direction.
Yeah, it gives me chills to even kind of go back to this. And I actually am sitting at my home desk where I spent a lot of, you know, 5 a.m. till midnight. I don't think I would have eaten during that time if my wife didn't bring me something at random time. So thank you to her. But what we always said is the decisions we're going to make now are going to define how we come out of this. And like that was from day one around how do we treat our employees? Like we were going to be in this for the long haul. And we've, you know, set our company up that we could weather a storm financially. And at the end of the day, we would do what we had to make sure our employees were there. But on how we treated them in the moment was so, so important. And how we will talk a minute, you know, on our retention. We're at 70% retention.
That was a question I wanted to ask. What is the, and how does that 70% compare to other people in your industry?
It's crazy. So when you think about it, so 70% retention means 70% of the people that start with us are still here. And these people have been here for years. And the difference is, and you see a normal retailer, especially in ours, we are an absolute, you know, retail company. Most retailers have way over 100% turnover, which is 100% is actually a good number for turnover. So if you do the inverse, we're only turning over about 30% of our employees. And quite honestly, that 30% is largely made up of people that this may not be the right fit for them. And we want to make sure we find the right fit for our employees. So literally the people that want to work here, that love this industry, that want to serve our customers, that want to be part of where we are, to retain 70% of them is you know, 5x what other retailers are doing. And not only retaining them, but our satisfaction with our employees is over 90%. And like we take that's our number one most important stat. And our number one most important asset by a mile is our employees. And I couldn't be happier. Like we don't do it to get a rating. We do it to care about our employees and to treat them right. And it's all built through the relationships and the conversations and listening to our employees.
That's amazing. And the employee experience drives a customer experience. What's happening on the inside is felt on the outside. And that's why when we go into one of your stores, there is engagement. And I've been to Verizon stores, and you tell me you're here in St. Louis operating under a Verizon. And by the way, I live in St. Louis, which is why I mentioned that for those that don't know that around the world. I walk into a Verizon store. I don't know it's your store, but I know there's a cultural difference between your store and maybe somebody else's, some other brand store that I walk into. It's yes. Noticeable.
I appreciate that. And I think there's one way to tell if you're in my store or not. And the one, it's how our people and our employees treat our customers. So, you know, we start with our, what we talk is about our flywheel, which is our employees, employees first. How do we get the best employees? How do we take care of our employees? How do we treat them the right way? That goes into our customer experience. And how do we truly care about our customers and take care of them every time and do what's right for them to provide the best customer service? And then honestly, that goes into our community and giving back, which then the flywheel continues to turn, going back to the, you know, the more we generate in profits, the more we can give back to our communities, the more we give back to our communities, the more presence we get, the better employees we get. And that flywheel just starts humming, and it's really cool. And I think the one way to tell you're in my store, which we love to talk about, is our Google score. If you look at us online, we show up as a Verizon store, but if there's a score of 4.8 or higher, it's ours, because we have a ranking of 4.9, which is crazy. We're higher than Chick-fil-A. We're higher than, we literally did a meeting in Disney World at the time. And we started thinking about this, like, what differentiates us? And it was all about how we treat our customers in that sense. And we were talking about our Google score at the time was a 4.8. How do we get that up? And my marketing guy pulled up. He's like, we're in Disneyland. Let's pull up what their school is. Their Google score is 4.5. So we were literally happier than the happiest place on earth, and we're selling cell phones. We're like, we just love to have some fun with that. We're happier than Chick-fil-A, and you know how good they are. But it's all about, the message to my team is, it's a heck of a lot harder to stay at go to 4.8 to 4.9 and stay at 4.9. And we never do it to get a score. It's always about the true experience that you get when you walk into us, that we care about you as a customer, and we truly take care of your needs.
Well, actually, while you say the score doesn't matter as much, it matters, because that's like a North Star to point toward. Are we delivering the 4.9 or the 5-star experience? And when you can ask yourself, and this is what we teach our clients, we call it the loyalty question. Loyalty isn't about a lifetime. It's about the next time. So what am I doing right now to make sure that that customer comes back the next time they need another phone or accessory or whatever we sell, instead of going to a competitor? If I'm looking at just the next time, every time, it becomes a lifetime, which is kind of cool. That's the flywheel kind of thing, just done a different way.
I actually love that, because, you know, it's interesting. I may run with that too, because we do talk about, you know, I review all of our Google scores as our president, and I send out every week. I'll look and pull some and send some shout outs to my team. And, you know, one of the messages I have, I always talk about is, you've earned a customer for life. I actually am going to maybe use something from this article and now go to the next time and lifetime, because I really love that, because that's what it is about how the next time. Most people only get a cell phone every 1, 2, or 3 years. So how do they remember us 2 or 3 years from now is our goal. But to make sure we're there in the meantime, if they have any questions on their phone or other services they would need, like, how do we be that technology advisor for them?
Yeah, that's wonderful. Let's take a short break. And when we come back, I want to talk about something you just mentioned as part of that flywheel. You've got your employee experience, very fulfilled experience, high retention. You've got customers giving you 4.9 ratings, making you happier than the happiest place on earth. And now I want to talk about the community that you're involved in, because the community that you're involved in is the local communities. Let's get into that in just a moment. We are talking with Chad Jensen, who is the president of one of the largest Verizon retailers on the planet. We'll be right back. Don't go away. One of my favorite sayings is that customer service isn't a department. It's a philosophy. And it's a philosophy that must be embraced by everyone in the organization all the time. And that's 24/7. So if customer service is important to you, and I know it is, then you will love our virtual training, the ultimate on-demand customer service and experience training program that you can access anytime, anywhere. Now, the course content applies to everyone, regardless of position or responsibility, from senior executives to the most recently hired and everyone in between. You'll discover tips, ideas, and strategies that won't cost your company a fortune, but will produce what I call moments of magic, those positive experiences, and it will happen at every level of your organization. So go to Customer Service VT. That's V as in virtual, T as in training. That's CustomerServiceVT.com. It's time to get customer focused.
You're listening to Amazing Business Radio with best-selling author and customer service and business expert, Shep Hyken.
We're back on Amazing Business Radio talking with Chad Jensen. Chad, fascinating information about the employee experience. I think what you've done is created something that I refer to, and I learned it from a gentleman named Brian Keeley, who was the CEO, just retired last year, of Baptist Health South, a large healthcare organization, who said, I want to create destination employment. Meaning that if you come to work for me, you're not going to ever want to leave because of the way we treat you. And the happier the employee is, the more engaged they are. I love that. There's all kinds of great information about, and by the way, the 4.9 score for the customer satisfaction probably correlates with a Glassdoor.com score that you have. The places that have the best, happiest places to work are, and I use the word happy because that's a word that you used, but the best places to work are also often found to be the best places to do business with on the other side when you look at customer satisfaction. So congratulations on being amazing to both your employees and your customers. Let's talk about amazement to the community now, because this is one of the big things you have. You have the Culture of Good movement, which in your words, fosters strong connections between the company, its employees, and the community that they serve. So it's not just a jumbo-sized cause that's worldwide. You're actually focusing on a local community, taking a national company and giving it a local presence.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's at the heart of our business. And we kind of like to talk about, we did this before it was cool or popular, and we surely don't do it for any other reason than just to give back to our communities. So we looked at very intentionally with our company, how do we make a difference in the communities we actually serve? You know, we've now grown to not only one of the largest Verizon retailers, but one of the largest retailers in the nation. And we take this incredibly serious. So here's our different strategy that is, we don't write just one big check to large organizations. We do have some partnerships, but it's all about our employees and what we take our employees' passions and the local communities that they serve. And then we allow each one of them and really encourage them to submit for local grants in their communities. And then they can earn a grant anywhere from $1,000 to $10,000. And we'll give that money directly back to the communities served. And we have sponsored hundreds and hundreds of community events and community organizations, I should say, through that process. And like the connection it gets between what our customers are passionate about and what our employees are passionate about. It's not just the dollars. It's about many times our employees are volunteering and giving time back, because we also give all of our employees 2 days a year to give back to the local community and really make sure they have space to do that.
Yeah, I love that. And they get to choose. So give me an example of, I'm here in St. Louis and you're in Indianapolis. So give me examples of what local looks like.
Yeah. So, I mean, the great thing is it's really local, and like, it can be like, you know, one of our biggest things is we really focus on, you know, their passions and what comes out. A lot of like pets is a big one. So the local humane shelters, but what's kind of cool is it's not just like the humane shelter in the bigger organizations. It literally could be an organization that one of our customers started to rescue dogs or cats or to give them a place. And it's those startup companies that really need the money, where $1,000 can make a monumental difference of really changing somebody's life. You know, when you look at, a lot of it goes back to like hunger and how do we make sure we support the local communities? And obviously that's a big need in a lot of our stores. And so like, it's not just the big food banks. We don't just write a big check to a food bank. We'll write a check to an organization that once again is started in that local community. Say St. Louis, for example, there's somebody has a passion to make a difference in people's lives, but may not have the funds. And they started an organization to feed, you know, people in their local community out of their houses at times. And like, they've now gone to organizations and we'll give a $1,000 or $10,000 check. And the good thing about that is it goes directly back to the community. There's almost no overhead into the organizations that we give this money to.
What about like a school dance?
So we do a lot. A big thing for us is on the school front. So we definitely do from supporting schools and organizations. So one of the big things we do, we do four also big events a year. One of them is called our backpack giveaway, which started years ago. And we give away about 120,000 backpacks a year. We've given 1.3 million away lifetime.
Wow. I remember, I actually think I wrote about that a number of years ago. So that's fantastic. And that's backpack for kids going to school. I mean, 1.3 million of them you've given away.
Absolutely.
And are there's there's supplies in the backpack. It's not just a backpack.
Absolutely. And, and the whole key, you know what? It's not even just supplies in a backpack. You know what it is? The reason we do it is very specific. You know, we serve a lot of local communities, and some of the times these kids, the only new thing they have is that backpack. When they walk into school that first day, it's not about the backpack to carry their supplies. It's about to give them that pride and to give them something they're proud of and something that is cool and neat, and they can walk in. You can see these little kids. I've got so many pictures when we hand them to them individually, and there's no purchase. This is nothing about money. Literally, we just hand them backpacks and give them things from the local community that support us, whether it's haircuts or, you know, fun bounce houses. But it's all about getting these kids excited to go back to school and be really prideful on that first day, because that may be the only new thing that certain kids got in some of our communities. And it really, to see the smiles and some of the stories, it just changes their lives.
Wow. I love this. Just so you know, we do research every year, as I've mentioned. This is a great stat that has come from our most recent findings from just 3 weeks ago. 60% of customers in general prefer a business that has a cause that they give back to. And it could be an international hunger relief, or it could be the local community. And actually, we asked it another way in a separate survey to another group of consumers. 63% expect companies to have some type of a give back to the community or a cause. And 28% would choose not to do business if they found out the company did it would profit with no purpose whatsoever, as opposed to profit with purpose. And I just love this. You said something that I want to jump into. I wrote a book a number of years ago called Amaze Every Customer Every Time. And one of the chapters was focused on giving back. And one of the people I interviewed was an Ace Hardware owner. And by the way, I think there's about 4,500 to 5,000 Ace Hardware stores around the world. But typically they're owned by, I think almost 70 countries. They're owned by one individual, family, whatever. Maybe they own two or three stores. There's a few that have more. Anyway, I digress. One guy owned one store. He's down in Houston. And who moves in right next to him? Home Depot. So he's got this little store, and he's got Home Depot that is literally 10 times the size of his store. Get this. They outspend him in advertising dollars 30 to 1. So he pulls out almost his advertising because he knows he can't compete. And there was also other things he did. And he took almost 100% of his ad budget and flipped it to giving it back to the community. Church and school dances, soccer teams for the kids, any other charitable event. And guess what happened? His business not only survived, literally in the shadow of a large, and by the way, a year or two later, another big box store right down the street, because they all kind of cluster together. And he's thrived in this environment. And he says it's because he gave back to the local community, and he really made his local presence felt.
That's amazing. And that's literally like the heart of what we do. And it's like, how do we make that difference and connect with those? I love that story. And how do we connect with our, you know, our community? You know, another big thing you had asked us about causes. I want to make sure I share this too. So obviously, you know, and unfortunately, domestic violence is something that impacts so many different people. You know, I'm really a huge shout out to our owners and Scott Moorhead and Julie Moorhead, but Julie really has spearheaded this, what we call More Than a Phone. And obviously we have connection to phones and service. So what we do is we partner with local shelters, and we now have over 100 shelters in the country. And what we do is we give free cell phone service and phones to domestic violence survivors, because that's the one thing they need to walk away with sometimes, with no contacts, and to get that device in their hand with no ties to any of their past has been a lifesaver and a game changer for a lot of these people. And so that's something we're really proud of, and how we in touch so many people in our community, and it's all about those local shelters. So we don't partner with national. It's all local, you know, shelters that work in those areas that we serve our stores. And that's another one. And we take actually bring the customers into that by we take old phones and recycle them and use those that flow to be able to provide these brand new phones to these individuals.
I love that. This is the type of thing that more organizations need to be thinking about. As we wrap up here, I'm thinking you're not a culture of good. You're a company of good. And obviously driven by the culture. As we wrap up, I always ask the final question. It's the one last thing you want to share with us today, something that you feel is important and you can reiterate something we've talked about or give us some new nugget of information. What would that be?
Yeah, I think it's this is, you know, really, when you think about doing business, I actually brought my daughter, who's now a freshman in college. She interned with me for the summer, or I should say for a week. And I asked her at the end of it, I said, "What'd you learn?" And she said, "Chad, here's what I learned." And she said this in front of
Chad or dad.
I'm sorry.
She said Chad or dad.
Oh, sorry. She said, sorry. Yeah. She called me Chad sometimes, you know, right. So
in business, really, you got to call, I can't call him dad in front of everybody else.
In front of all these people. So she literally said, and I said, I put her on the spot. I said, "What did you learn?" She said, "Dad, you always have, when you're doing business, you always need to make sure you're doing good." And I'm like, that was awesome. Like she learned that from just, I didn't tell her those words. She learned it from spending a week with, you know, our owner, Scott Moorhead, and myself and our entire employee base. She said to our entire company, and I put her on the spot with no preparation, always make sure when you're doing business, you're always doing good. And that's something that stuck with me that I learned from her in that 1 week. So I'd love to share that with everybody else.
Well, I'm going to share it with everybody I can as well. What a great way to end. Thank you so much for being on the show. This is why we call it Amazing Business Radio, because this has been amazing. And what you're doing, not just for your employees, but for the communities that you're serving, is truly amazing. As I mentioned, not just a culture of good, but a company of good. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
All right, everybody, that wraps it up. Another episode of Amazing Business Radio. We will be back next week with another interview. And until that time, this is Shep Hyken, and I remind you all to be amazing.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.